So tonight I'm going to talk about kindness. And it's funny because the whole Dharma talk could simply be kind, you know. Been thinking about the relationship of kindness to things like compassion and loving kindness, or metta. Buddhism talks about the four illimitable minds. Love, compassion, joy, and equanimity, the four mind states without limit. And they're really without limit. What that means is that following any of them brings us beyond the limits of ego, if we really drop into any of them. And we have these English words, love or loving kindness and compassion, which are reasonable translations for the original, karuna and metta. Technically, metta is the ability to connect with others when they're in joy and to enhance their joy by our connection with them. Karuna is the ability to connect with others when they're in sorrow and to relieve their sorrow by connecting with them. So they're seen as kind of complementary forces, that it doesn't necessarily have that connotation in English. But in a way, both of those, you might say, are deep wells within us, deep possibilities within us. And kindness is much more about what happens at the surface, what happens in action. You might say that, you know, kindness is what compassion looks like at the grocery store, you know, in the rough and tumble of everyday life. That's where we experience or don't show kindness. And it's also funny because there's this way that we're kind until we're not, you know? And so I started getting interested as I was thinking about this topic in, you know, what are the edges of our kindness and what does that say? I think one reason that people are not kind as they could be in the modern world is very simply distraction. You know, if you think about it, it's not at all hard to imagine a scenario taking place, say in a public place, like a BART train or something, where one person suddenly has a medical emergency, say a heart attack or something, and at least initially, nobody else even notices because they're all fixated on their devices and in their own little electronic worlds, you know? And it's not that anyone is intending to be unkind or unfeeling, but people are distracted, you know? It's this very simple but profound truth. We can't be kind unless we're paying attention. We can't be kind unless we're present and there, you know? And so that's certainly one thing to reflect on, that this powerful link just between you might call it basic mindfulness and kindness. I think another barrier to kindness in the modern world is fear. All the ways that people hold back because of fear, you know, the bystander effect and all that, you know, people seeing something that's making them uncomfortable, but then, you know, I don't want to get mixed up in this, so I'm not going to say anything, you know, this sort of thing. And it's so sad because, again, you know, say if someone is being abused or something like that, or yelled at in a public place and everyone else is standing around silent, sometimes the person who is suffering that attack feels like everyone's against me, you know, because they're all not saying anything, you know. You know, it's always an interesting question, what statement is our silence making? You know, and something to consider there. And when is our silence actually unkind? I was thinking a lot about what you might call the topology of our kindness. You know, where what is a sort of the inner landscape of our kindness. Where does our kindness end, and what kind of edges does our kindness have? And I think we all know that there's something a little bit off, or something a little bit troubling about having what you might call a very sharp edge to kindness. Like, you know, imagine we're all having a kind conversation, and then someone suddenly takes offense, and then on the, you know, without any warning, they start being unkind. That would raise some alarms for us in some ways. There's this way, I think, how can I say, it's sort of at least conventionally seen as more functional if our kindness has this more, you might say, tapered edge. You know, we go from kindness maybe to, you know, cautious and curious, and more toward, you know, this cool indifference, as opposed to sort of this immediate drop off. And I think an important mention here in this context is the phenomena of people being passive aggressive. You know, and perhaps there's ways that we all do a little bit of this, you know. And passive aggressive is one of these states that is really so driven by toxic shame. Because when someone's passive aggressive, the whole game is about hiding. The whole game is about, you know, trying to provoke other people, but staying in hiding, you know. And it's almost this shame-feeding cycle, because, you know, I know by poking the other person I'm doing something shameful, so I don't want anyone to know that I'm doing it, so I hide behind plausible deniability, you know, this sort of thing. So I think important to, you know, and of course that has the appearance of, you know, I'm trying to have the appearance of being the nice person, the kind person, all while playing this game. You know, so it's an interesting reflection, you know, in what ways are we passive aggressive? You know, in what ways are we, you know, trying to have the mask of the kind person with, you know, but not actually being kind in a heartfelt way, you know? Of course, there are, in the world, in the larger world, there are astonishing lacks of kindness and astonishing deeds that are completely the opposite of kindness. And of course, a lot of that comes from wounding. And I think I would say also, you know, if we think of our own map of kindness and how our kindness maps onto the external world, I'd say a lot is driven by how much kindness we extend to our inner world. You know, Jung's idea of the inner otherness, you know. And it's so human, it's so completely human, when there's something painful, we push it away. I don't want to feel that, you know, that's painful. You know, but that in some ways is the equivalent of saying to a person in the external world, I'm going to push you away. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to talk to you at all. Like, you know, which is not kind behavior, you know. Many of these places that we pushed away have been through trauma, you know, just the ordinary traumas of everyday life, the traumas of childhood, this sort of thing. If you think about what it is to meet an external person, say an external person who's just been through something traumatic, you know, kindness would probably look a lot like being quiet. Just sitting with them, letting them, if you need to vent, go ahead and vent. If you need to process, go ahead and process, you know, sort of making yourself available as a listener and a witness, you know. And that's really, in many ways, what our own inner brokenness needs. It needs us to be available as a listener and a witness, rather than, you know, someone who's saying, you know, pushing away, I don't want to feel that, you know? So I think there's this very real way that the landscape of kindness that we map onto the external world mirrors almost precisely the internal map of kindness that we walk around with, you know? Anything that I can't be kind to in here, I can't be kind to out there, you know, that sort of thing. And so it's just an interesting question, you know, how well do we know our map of kindness? And how well are we acquainted with the places where our kindness ends? So at this point, I'm going to share a beautiful poem. Many of you probably know this poem, Naomi Shabed Nye, her poem Kindness. And this is just the final stanza of it. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak it until your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore, only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to gaze at bread, only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, "It is I you have been looking for," and then goes with you everywhere like a shadow or a friend. So at this point, I'll share the quote sheet. So for folks on Zoom, that's the virtual quote sheet. Rose gets a hand-delivered quote sheet. So I have that section from the poem, from the Buddha. If you look the whole world over, you will never find another more worthy of your loving kindness than yourself. And from this love, you will hold all as dear. We cannot harm others when we genuinely love ourselves. And then two that are similar, one from Joseph Joubert, a part of kindness consists in loving people more than they deserve. And James Barry says, always be a little kinder than necessary. And reflecting on these two quotes, it in a way it kind of cracks me up. Like, who am I to decide how much kindness somebody else deserves? You know, like, who on earth gives me that kind of authority, you know? And the funny thing is, the only time we're even, you know, of course, when I'm in a heart-open, relaxed place, I'm not even thinking about how much kindness does another person deserve. I only get into that state, you know, when I'm triggered, when I'm having trouble forgiving somebody, or maybe they only deserve this much kind, you know? In other words, when I'm least qualified to make that kind of decision is the time that I'm making it, you know? So there's something almost comic about that. From Albert Schweitzer, constant kindness can accomplish much. As the sun makes ice melt, kindness causes misunderstandings, mistrust, and hostility to evaporate. From Hazrat Inayat Khan, the world is evolving from imperfection to perfection. It needs all love and sympathy. Great tenderness and watchfulness are required from each of us. And I love this idea that just by acting with kindness, we're helping to bring something larger into existence. Thich Nhat Hanh says, when you are guided by compassion and loving kindness, you are able to look deeply into the heart of reality and see the truth. And there's this sort of profound connection between compassion and wisdom. Ram Dass says, the human heart has extraordinary capacity to hold and transform the sorrows of life into a great stream of compassion. Compassion is the movement of concern and kindness in response to the difficulty of any living being. Compassion arises when you allow your heart to be touched by the pain and need of another. from Bishop Desmond Tutu, that remarkable man. Do your little bits of good where you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world. From the Dalai Lama. This is my religion. There is no need for temples, no need for complicated philosophy. Our own brain, our own heart is our temple. Our philosophy is kindness. And sometimes I've just seen that shortened as, my religion is kindness, you know? And there's something very profound about that. It's very simply stated, but it's very deep. Harold Kushner says, do things for people not because of who they are or what they do in return, but because of who you are. In this very real way that when we're acting from kindness, we're aligning with compassion, we're aligning with metta, and so we're really aligning with our own deepest nature. Pema Chodron says, be kinder to yourself, then let your kindness flood the world. Choing Trumpa said, real fearlessness is a product of tenderness. It comes from letting the world tickle your heart, your raw and beautiful heart. You are willing to open up without resistance or shyness and face the world. You are willing to share your heart with others. Julie Alvarez said, the point is not to pay back kindness, but to pass it on. A couple from Sharon Salzberg, she says, sometimes kindness takes the form of stepping aside, letting go of our need to be right, and just being happy for someone else. So true. She also says, this is what compassion does. It challenges our assumptions, our sense of self-limitations, our worthlessness, of not having a place in the world, our feelings of loneliness and estrangement, these narrow and constrictive mind states. As we develop compassion, our heart opens. Tara Brock says, we can decide to love life. We can consciously intend to love without holding back. Although we continue to shut down, we can always start with exactly what is present and bring kindness to our resistance. We can say yes to our no. As we intentionally deepen our yes, we discover an unconditional acceptance, an open and allowing acceptance that frees us. We are not dependent on life being a certain way. The openness of our presence itself gives rise to deep contentment. Jackie Chan says, sometimes it only takes one act of kindness and caring to change a person's life. And there's something very humbling about that. We don't even know sometimes the power of a simple gesture of kindness. A Persian proverb, the best memory is that which forgets nothing but injuries. Write kindness in marble, and write the injuries in dust. Love that sentiment. Another anonymous quote, this one I also love. A friend is one to whom you can pour out the contents of your heart, chaff and grain alike, knowing that the gentlest of hands will take and sift it, keep what is worth keeping, and with a breath of kindness, blow away the rest. And Wes Angelosi said, go and love someone exactly as they are. Then watch how quickly they transform into the greatest, truest version of themselves. When one feels seen and appreciated in their own essence, one is instantly empowered.